Revelation, if you would please. I know that might be an unusual book of the Bible for a message having to do with Thanksgiving. And I did say that tonight would be a little bit of a Thanksgiving-themed message. And so that's what we're going to start with. So, Mark, hold your finger there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. And then I want you to flip forward a few more chapters to chapter 7 and verse 9. And we'll read both of those passages as our text this evening as we talk about Thanksgiving. Amen. So if you found your place, if you'll please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. And we'll start in Revelation chapter 4. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Verses 9 through 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now over to chapter 7 and verses 9 through 12. Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9 through 12. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go over the whole idea of Thanksgiving and the history of it. That would take quite a while. But you know that not just in America is something like Thanksgiving celebrated. And may I further say that not just among Christian people is this idea of Thanksgiving celebrated. Thanksgiving simply is the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. It's rendering thanks for good received. It's known by the dictionary definition as an annual holiday, traditionally in the United States, documented for the first time in 1619. I don't know if you knew that about the Thanksgiving holiday here in America. What then was called the Commonwealth of Virginia, 38 English settlers aboard the ship Margaret arrived by way of the James River at Berkeley Hundred in Charles City County, Virginia, on December 4th, 1619. The landing was immediately followed by a religious celebration specifically dictated by the group's charter from the London Company. The charter declared that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for a plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. Hallelujah. A secular charter. I mean, come on. It doesn't get much better than that. Where's that today in our businesses, right? It's Turkey Day to people. I don't know what there is to be holy about Turkey Day. Okay, but boy, what a statement. I found that little nugget of history, and I thought that was wonderful. But in our country, so that was kind of the first declaration there in our country. But all over the early 1600s, and even in other countries earlier than that, there are ideas and things mainly religious or oriented talking about Thanksgiving. Many times it was because of a harvest or because of plenty that was provided, and they attributed all of that to God. Funny thing, isn't it? That the people of that day knew to attribute these things to God. And even in, if you will, other religions, some supreme being. Okay, but today what's happening more and more? There's almost no acknowledgement of any kind of supreme being of thanks to be given or anything like that, is there? It's become totally secular, almost as bad as Christmas is. Now, these things were recognized especially by our early leaders. There were many patriots in our country, John Hancock, General George Washington, and even people of the Continental Congress, each gave thanks to God for events that were favorable to their cause. As president, George Washington proclaimed the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America's marking November 26th, 1789, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be acknowledged to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. That's by a president. Our first president, right? Way back when Americans knew what was important. And calling Americans to unite unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. Yeah. You won't find that coming out of Washington these days. Wow. Now, again, there is much more to be said about the history of Thanksgiving in our country. But I guess in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek sort of way, may I say we've come a long way. Departing from that sentiment, we as Christians need to get back to that sentiment. That Almighty God deserves thanks. That's why we started in Revelation chapter 4. Did you notice how it was around the throne? And in chapter 7, as it describes the magnificent multitudes of people and creatures and beings around the throne, doing what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Unto who? God. For how long? What duration? Forever and ever. Why? Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of our thanks. And that's what we need to bring back to Thanksgiving. Listen, I love getting to watch football. That's wonderful. And I love eating. Turkeys, pigs, cows, chickens. It doesn't matter what you decide to serve. I'll just lower the veil down and I'll pick out whatever we have there. That's great, but that's not what Thanksgiving is about. It's about remembering God. Being thankful to him. He is God Almighty. And listen, if a shipping company, a company that gives out a charter to settle a foreign piece of ground, can figure out that there needs to be a day of thanksgiving kept perpetually as a holy day. If a government official like a president can figure out that our nation needs to have a day of thanksgiving and prayer, then we, his people, ought to be able to figure out that thanksgiving is important. And thanksgiving is necessary. And thanksgiving, this definition that I read to you, the act of rendering thanks and gratitude. The act of rendering thanks for good received and favors and mercies of God bestowed upon us is something we should participate in. And maybe not just once a year. Maybe all the time. Maybe, how about we just throw this in there, maybe more often than we do. But it's important. And it truly ought to be Thanksgiving, not Turkey Day. And I guess I could accept Turkey Day better than not remembering it at all. But I'd rather it be Thanksgiving. And just like our forefathers dictated that it should be something given to Almighty God. That's Thanksgiving. Over in Leviticus 22, there were many things said about this, but I want to talk about three different things here about Thanksgiving. First of all, the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. And I don't mean the butchering of the turkey. You're supposed to laugh there. Okay, that was supposed to be funny. All right. Now, this was something, and I want to read this to you, and then we'll make a particular application to this idea. But there was something mentioned in the different sacrifices that were given. Some were because of atonement for sin. Some were for different reasons of giving this sacrifice or that sacrifice. But one of them was called a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It says in Leviticus 22, it says, when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That's what's important to remember about this point. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is not one of those requirements. It's not one of those things that you have to do. It's one of those things that you want to do. You offered this thing of this. See, because when you went to the temple and you had to, or the tabernacle, and you had a particular sin or a particular thing, you had to bring a particular sacrifice to accomplish the atonement of that. And there was a requirement. But did you notice that this sacrifice is not that kind? It's not something that you had to do. It says, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Folks, do we have to thank God for what he does in our lives? Does he require us to thank God or thank him for what he's done in our lives? No. No, he doesn't. But guess what? We get to thank God. And when we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, we will offer it at our own will. God wants us to offer thanksgiving to him. In Psalm 50, David says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. You say, Pastor, you just said that we didn't have to do this. Now David's saying we should. It's a vow that we need to pay. Now, yes, there's a difference between have to, right, and I must. You understand? We talked about that last week. But David said, hey, God's worthy, folks. We need to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto him because he is God. And because he is so good to us. And because he's the one that delivers us out of trouble. And he's the one that protects us. And he's the one that blesses us. And he's the one that's good to us. He is those things always to us.
So should we thank him? Yes, we should.
In Psalm 107, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing."
You know, another thing about this thing of a sacrifice is not only at our own will, but what does a sacrifice mean? What does that mean? It means it costs you something. It costs you something. You see, what do you mean? What do you mean about costing you something? Well, you know what? Is time valuable? Yeah. Does it take time to thank God for something? Yeah. So that would be a sacrifice of your time to stop and thank God for what he's done in your life. But is it worth that sacrifice? Yes, it is.
It may be something else that we have to give up in order to thank God. We are to be willing to offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving unto God. It's something we offer. It's something we give. And it costs us something. Hey, what else does it cost us? In order to truly be thankful to someone else for something, what does that mean? Humility? Yeah, you're acknowledging thanks and gratitude for something that they've done to you, right? And that costs you some humility. Do you see that these things really aren't that expensive? Is God worth a little bit of time to thank him? Is God worth a little bit of humility to thank him for who and what he is to us? If you look back, again, I don't have the time to do it tonight, but if you look back at the Old Testament and the actual sacrifice of thanksgiving, it was just flour. It was kind of like fried bread almost that was given. It wasn't like extremely valuable, like an animal. You understand? I mean, a piece of bread or a steak, which one's more valuable? You understand? So it wasn't about the cost of it, but it still was a sacrifice. When's the last time you considered what you offered up to God in gratitude and thanks as a sacrifice? God, I'm offering this unto you. That's what we need to think about when we think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, let's move on quickly. It's raining outside. Nobody wants to go out to the car anyways. So we might as well just stay in here. Amen. I got one amen. That's great. Now, look at the next one. In Nehemiah chapter 12, Nehemiah writes and says, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." Now, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel had designated people for thanksgiving. Yeah, they had singers and musicians that were designated. Their only job was to sing thanksgiving unto God. Wow. What a cool job. Hey, guess what? We can be that kind of person too. We can be designated to sing thanksgiving and lift up our voice of thanksgiving to God. In Psalm 26, David writes, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works." So not only the sacrifice of thanksgiving, but the voice of thanksgiving.
Do we have a voice of thanksgiving to our God? Think about the things that your voice resonates. You know, when the air passes through the little vocal cords and they vibrate and tones come out. Think of all the things that resonate out of your mouth. How much of it, or could it be called a voice of thanksgiving? David says we should have a voice of thanksgiving that we may publish and tell of all his wondrous works. In Psalm 30, David writes and says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." In Psalm 69, verses 30 through 36, David writes again and says, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord." Oh, listen to this. "Better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves." He says, hey, this voice of thanksgiving is better than those sacrifices. You know what America and Christians need to find again? They need to find their voice of thanksgiving unto God Almighty. Even we as Christians in good local churches have kind of lost this thing of thanksgiving. Less and less out of our mouth is thanksgiving to God. It needs to be more and more out of our mouth is thanksgiving. Because do we give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness? Is he not holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty? We read in Revelation that he was the one that was worthy of thanksgiving. And his name was to be praised forever and ever. The voice of thanksgiving. In Psalm 95, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great." I'm sorry. "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Wow. In Psalm 147, he says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." A voice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. These are things that we need to remember about thanksgiving. Let me sum it up kind of in this last idea about thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, if you'd like to turn your Bible there, you certainly may. You may know it. It's a great psalm, 5 verses long. Says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So we understand this idea of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we understand this idea of the voice of thanksgiving. But it's all going to stem from this last idea, our attitude of thanksgiving. You ever heard the little cliche, an attitude of gratitude? Okay? Yeah? That needs to be what rules in our lives. Did you notice here the psalmist says, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Right? When we come before God, do we come before him with thanksgiving? Or do we just come with a long list of things? God, do this. God, do that. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, help this. God, help that. Wait a minute. Where's the entering in with thanksgiving? You know, if my children come to me wanting something and they have an attitude, guess what they don't get? Yeah. But if they come with the right attitude, and if they come in the right way, they just may get what they want. Don't you think God is something like that to us? I think he is. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Did you notice what he further said? He said here, be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's a state of being, right? Be thankful. That means it comes from the inside out. That means it starts with our attitude. Are we truly thankful to God? Do we give him the credit for what's being done in our lives? We have to acknowledge that. Remember, we just talked about that. Thanking somebody means humbling ourselves. Acknowledging them that they are worthy of this thanks. That needs to be our attitude. In Psalm 75, it says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee, do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. David writes in Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works. So David said, what's his attitude toward God? It's an attitude of thanksgiving. That these are God's works. That God has done this. Is that how we look at it? Because if we do, if that's our attitude, then what are we naturally going to do? Give thanks. We're going to be grateful because God has provided, because God has done, because God is. And then we can just be thankful. But when we think we're the ones that have provided and we're the ones that have done, and when we're the ones that have accomplished, and when we're the ones that deserve or are entitled to, is there thanks? No, not usually. God is the one to be thanked. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. You say, but we're the ones doing the work, and we're the ones living the life, and we're the ones going through the trials and tribulations. Yes, but it's God who carries us through. It's God who provides, and he's the one to be thanked. And his thanks, the thanks for him, ought to redound from person to person to God. That's the attitude. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes this and says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You've heard this passage before, haven't you? He says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that hath dispersed abroad hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Now listen to this. Many people think this has to do with finances and things like that. Not necessarily. Because listen to what he says. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Yeah. So this principle of sowing and reaping, it has to do with people being caused through us to bring thanksgiving to God. God is the one to be thanked. God is the one to be given thanks to. He goes on and says, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It does both. Oh yes, the things that God does for us supplies our wants and our needs and the things that we have. But ultimately, what is it supposed to produce? Thanksgiving unto God. All these things should provide thanksgiving unto God. And that needs to be the attitude of thanksgiving for the Christian. Just a few more verses. In Philippians 4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So even when we pray, what is it supposed to be done with? Thanksgiving. Do you see how this attitude of thanksgiving permeates the believer's life? It should be in all things, and unto God in thanksgiving in all things. And then in Colossians 2 it says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught. That's all great, right? Everybody's okay with that, right? All those things are true. All those things are great. All those things are good. It's about Jesus. We were supposed to walk in him, be rooted in him, built up in him, established in the faith in him, as we have been taught. But that's not the end of the sentence. It says, as a closing statement, abounding therein with, guess the word, thanksgiving. What does that mean? Oh yes, Christian, we're supposed to abound. We're supposed to be our feet planted on the solid rock of Jesus Christ as a foundation in our life. And we're supposed to abound in it with what? Thanksgiving. See, I think we kind of forget that little word. Actually, it's a big word. How can we miss it? I mean, I can understand missing all. That's a little word. Or must. That's a little word. Thanksgiving. Big word. How do we miss it? That's what we need to remember. Thanksgiving.